Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Truffle Underground: A Tale of Mystery, Mayhem, and Manipulation in the Shadowy Market of the World's Most Expensive Fungus, is an investigative nonfiction book by Ryan Jacobs that examines the global truffle trade as a business, shaped by secrecy, scarcity, and competition. Rather than treating truffles only as a luxury ingredient, Jacobs traces the systems behind their harvest, movement, and sale, showing how an apparently refined food market can also contain fraud, theft, sabotage, and misinformation. The book is built from reporting, interviews, and on-the-ground observation, which gives it the structure of journalism, while preserving the pace of a crime narrative. Its purpose is both explanatory and corrective. It reveals how truffles actually reach elite restaurants, why authenticity is difficult to verify, and why the industry remains so vulnerable to manipulation. The result is a focused study of a niche food economy that reflects broader issues of supply chains, luxury branding, and trust in specialty markets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the truffle trade as a secretive luxury market. A central idea in the book is that truffles are not just expensive because they are rare, but because the market around them is opaque. Jacobs presents the trade as a world where information is tightly controlled, buyers often know little about origin, and sellers benefit from the mystique of the product. This secrecy matters because luxury markets depend on trust, yet truffles create an environment where trust is difficult to verify. The book shows that the high price of truffles encourages claims that cannot always be checked, which makes the market especially attractive to intermediaries who can reshape the story of where a truffle came from and how good it is. By focusing on this hidden structure, the book explains why truffles became a symbol of culinary prestige while also becoming vulnerable to manipulation. The analysis is not only about food. It is about how scarcity and exclusivity can turn a natural product into a contested and highly informal economy. Secondly, how harvesting depends on luck, tradition, and animal training. The book emphasizes that truffle harvesting remains difficult to systematize. Unlike agricultural products that can be reliably cultivated and timed, many truffles are still found through a combination of local knowledge, seasonal conditions, and the skill of hunters and their dogs. Jacobs uses this uncertainty to show why the trade has stayed so resistant to full modernization. Because success depends on locating something hidden underground, truffle hunting rewards experience and intuition as much as formal technique. The book also highlights the human-animal partnership at the center of the search, where trained dogs become essential tools in a competitive environment. This detail is important because it reveals how the supply chain begins in a form of labor that is both traditional and fragile. The result is a market in which output cannot be easily standardized, making it harder to regulate, price, or authenticate. That instability helps explain why truffles retain their aura of rarity and why fraud can persist so easily around them. Thirdly, fraud, theft, and sabotage as routine business risks. One of the book's most striking contributions is its portrayal of criminal behavior, not as an exception, but as a recurring feature of the truffle economy. Jacobs reports on theft, deception, and sabotage as practical strategies used by people competing for value in a high-stakes market. This matters because the book links criminal conduct to the structure of the industry itself. When prices are high, supply is unpredictable, and enforcement is weak. Dishonest behavior becomes easier to rationalize and harder to detect. The truffle trade, therefore, functions less like a transparent commodity market and more like a fragmented network of actors competing over scarce goods. By examining these practices, the book shows how luxury food can be entangled with tactics more often associated with organized competition or true crime. The point is not simply that bad actors exist, but that the market conditions encourage concealment, opportunism, and retaliation. That framing gives the book much of its tension and analytical value. Fourthly, the journey from forest floor to restaurant table. Jacobs is attentive to the full path a truffle takes after it is found, and this supply chain perspective is one of the book's major strengths. He follows the product through collection, sale, transport, and eventual use in elite dining, showing how each stage introduces another opportunity for markup, substitution, or misrepresentation. This is important because many consumers only encounter truffles as a finished luxury garnish, not as a product with multiple intermediaries and uncertainties behind it. By tracing the route end to end, the book explains why provenance is so difficult to guarantee and why the final dining experience can be disconnected from theoralities of origin. The chain also helps clarify how a fragile, perishable item can acquire extraordinary value once it is framed for upscale consumption. Jacobs uses this movement from soil to restaurant to make the truffle trade legible as an economic system, not just a culinary curiosity. The broader implication is that luxury depends as much on narrative and distribution as on flavor. Lastly, why truffle products raise questions about authenticity. The book also has a practical consumer-facing dimension, because it encourages readers to question common truffle products and marketing claims. Jacobs's reporting suggests that many items labeled with truffle flavor or truffle content may not reflect the real ingredient in any meaningful way, or may use the prestige of truffles to sell something much cheaper. This issue is significant because it shows how a luxury food can be diluted into a branding tool. The book does not only criticize fakes in an abstract sense, it explains why the market makes them plausible. When the original ingredient is scarce, expensive, and hard to trace, imitation becomes profitable and difficult to challenge. This makes authenticity a central issue, not a side note. Readers come away with a more skeptical understanding of truffle oil, salts, and related products, along with a clearer sense of how gourmet language can obscure what is actually being sold. That consumer awareness gives the book practical relevance beyond its investigative appeal. In conclusion, The Truffle Underground is best suited to readers who enjoy investigative nonfiction, food writing, and books that reveal the hidden workings of specialized markets. It will especially appeal to people interested in culinary history, luxury goods, supply chain opacity, and the overlap between food culture and crime. The main benefit of the book is that it turns a narrow topic into a broader lesson about how scarcity, branding, and weak transparency can shape an entire industry. Readers who like well-reported nonfiction will appreciate its clear reporting and grounded explanations. While food-conscious readers may find it useful as a corrective to vague assumptions about truffle, products, and authenticity. What makes the book stand out from many other food books is that it does not romanticize the ingredient. Instead, it treats truffles as the center of a messy economic system with real incentives, conflicts, and distortions. That combination of culinary subject matter and investigative rigor gives the book a distinctive position in the genre. It is informative without being dry and revealing without depending on exaggeration. If you would like to support Ryan Jacobs, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.